1 Corinthians, we're going to jump in at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, that by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you would say that you were immersed in my name. Now I did immerse also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I immersed any other. For Christ did not send me to immerse, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. Please pray with me. Father God, we, as your chosen people, are very grateful, Father, for the provisions that you make for us, that you provide for us. My prayer this evening, Father, would be that we would be united in Christ, of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, the purpose that you have given us, the family business, to seek and save the lost. In order to do that, Father, we have to have a unified front. That's only going to happen if we are brought together in Christ and by the instructions of Christ. We have been armed for battle. It's up to us to take the battle to the enemy. And as we are grateful for the opportunities to come together for this very purpose, to be equipped, to be armored. So we thank you for Christ who has gone before us. We thank you that he is making us battle ready. And we thank you and praise you in his blessed and holy name. Amen. And so, brethren, as we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, some of the previous messages that we've looked at, we've seen that we are called as saints. And the world would have us believe otherwise. We looked at that. We've been called as holy ones, right? And hey, that's who we are. We are called as saints. We are God's holy people. We are the means by which holiness, by which cleanness is transferred under this New Testament. We are the means by which this goes out into the world, to the lost. And so we've seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 previously, that God is faithful, right? He is able to confirm us to the end. What God started, brethren, he is well able to finish. Of that we can trust. In my last message, we looked particularly at what our responsibility is in that. And we do have a responsibility. We need to finish strong. But if God undertakes something, brethren, you can rest assured he's going to get it done. Right? And so God has set out to make each one of us conform to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is able to do that. But we need to do our part. We need to do our part in that. And so tonight, I want to turn our attention a little bit. I like the way Paul starts off 1 Corinthians here. He reminds these guys of who they are. But there's some places there, here, you know, they're falling a little bit short. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we got to look at this into the spiritual mirror that we've been given, right? Which we receive and we reflect the glory of the Lord, don't we? You know, mirrors are valuable, aren't they? You know, if we have a boogie hanging, we can look in the mirror and it'll tell us. You know? We got a little big piece of lettuce stuck in our front teeth from dinner, you know, we can look in the mirror. It'll tell us. You know, if we're looking a little long in the tooth, turned 54 recently, and you look in the mirror and, man, whoa, I look old. helps us to keep it real, right? Mirrors are important. But, you know, as we look into this thing, it gives us a picture of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? You know, we got to look. And sometimes, you know, if we notice things, maybe there's some things we got to work on. You know, we got to whip this into shape a little bit. Okay? You know, to match the picture that we're given in this book. And so we're going to see that throughout the whole book of 1 Corinthians. And so tonight I want to turn our attention to unity. And sometimes even though we've been called as saints, it's possible for saints to act immature and fleshly. Babes in Christ, Scripture would say. And we want to grow up here. And that's what this book is all about. So we'll talk about and we'll look at unity within the body. And we are a spiritual army, aren't we? And we've been studying that on Wednesday nights, and that's a great study. Very valuable. That's who God has called us to be. Right? We're an army. Oh, and by the way, are we a defensive unit or an offensive unit? We're offensive, aren't we? We're taking this thing to the gates of Hades, right? We're offensive. We're taking the fight to them. And so, as an offensive unit, in order to work well, man, everything's got to be clicking, right? Everything, it's got to be a well-oiled machine in order for this to be successful. You know, the enemy, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to get behind the front lines, right? He wants to infiltrate and cause disruption. Okay, you break those battle lines, that's what he's trying to do. He wants to infiltrate the front lines. And, you know, if you think about it, I like to think about it as a football team. I played football growing up. It's easy to me to relate to. If you can bust through that offensive line as a defensive player, bust through that line of scrimmage and create havoc in the backfield, it's pretty much sure that that play is going to be a loss. You know, if you can disrupt that play, the plan. You know, if you think about an army, if you break behind enemy lines and cause disruption there, maybe hopefully take out the headquarters, man, you don't have to worry about what's coming next, do you? Not so much. And so, what do you think the devil's going to do? He going to break that line of defense, right? He wants to get back behind enemy lines, doesn't he? He wants to create havoc amongst the Lord's army. And so that's what he's interested in doing, and that's what we see in Corinth, don't we? We see it's kind of working a little bit there. You know, he's infiltrating their ranks. Because it says there were quarrels among them. But here's the thing. And we know sometimes, in the terms of warfare, sometimes it happens, you know, people get put to death by friendly fire. It's a sad thing. Taken out by their own guys, you know, accidentally, however, for whatever reason, just taken out by friendly fire. That's a sad thing. You know, brethren in the Lord's church, we don't want people going down by friendly fire. Right? You know, we can't have that. We want to be working together, concentrating our efforts together, taking the battle against the enemy, taking the fight to the enemy, not amongst ourselves. You know, Galatians 5 gives us a long list of the deeds of the flesh. We don't have time to go there this evening, but we've had some preachers cover that pretty extensively of late. And, you know, but from that list, we have a tendency to focus on the big things, right? The big ones, or at least I do, you know, at the beginning and the end there, right? Immorality, impurity, sensuality. You know, some of those big ones, right? Drunkenness, that's a pretty big one. Showed up there right at the end there. And we can identify that and say, that's wrong. You know, that's unscriptural. We see that all over the world, and we see that flat out flies in the face of God's plan, drunkenness. Now we get that. But you know, in the middle of that list, you know, there's really a long portion of that in the middle of that list. And it, You know, it has a lot of similar things. You know, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. You know, it's a pretty long portion of that list, right? And, you know, some things dedicated to some things to many of us, you know, as we're trying to categorize sin, we might be thinking, well, those things aren't so bad. Brethren, those things are that bad. Scriptures would say they are deeds of the flesh. Scripture says they are evident. And so when fleshly thinking takes place amongst people that should be spiritual, you're going to see some of those evident deeds. That's what was going on in Corinth, right? And sometimes it can happen here, you know? So we got to figure this out. We got to get this straight. And so in James chapter 4, verse 1, Scripture asks the question, what is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Yeah, as a parent, I ask the question a lot. What is the problem here? What is going on? Why are we fighting over dumb stuff, right? As parents, that's pretty easy to look and see. It does dumb stuff. Why are we fighting over dumb stuff? You know, hey, the Holy Spirit asks the question, what is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? What is the problem? You know what the Holy Spirit's inspired answer is? It's not the source, your pleasures, that wage war in your members. You know, the issue is people are selfish. People want what they want. Right? They want their own way. And when we have a problem typically with Zoe, it's because she wants things her way. And the neck bobs like that sometimes too. A little toot going on. Do you think that has relevance in the body of Christ? People want their own way, don't they? One, or in some cases, multiple. You can expect there are going to be some quarrels, right? And that's what we see in Corinth. You know, there's a saying in the sports world, there is no I in team. You know, that's a pretty good philosophy. I can remember years back, I don't know, probably 10 years back, Randy Moss was arguably the best deep threat wide receiver in all the NFL. You know, he was playing for the New England Patriots. You know, you know what the Patriots did? They traded him. They traded him to the Vikings of all places. But you know, Randy Moss, an amazing talent. This guy was special, right? Why would the New England Patriots? I think they got was something like a third round draft pick. Something like that. Why would they get rid of him, Randy Moss, for a third-round draft pick? A guy that can stretch the field like that. Very few able to keep up with him. You know, leading up to that earlier that year, all year long he had been saying that he didn't feel wanted in New England. He'd been saying all year, I don't think this is going to work out. You know what? You know what I think? I think there was some eye. I think there was some eye. And they said, let's get rid of that eye so we can keep our team. Everyone knows what team stands for, right? Together, everyone achieves more. Hey, there's no eye in team. So what about when it comes to the body of Christ? Look at me. I'm of Paul. Well, I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I am of Christ. It looks like to me that there was some I here. Right? Is that what it looks like to you guys? Do you think Paul and Apollos had a real problem? I don't think so. Do you think Paul and Peter had a real problem? Peter being Cephas in this piece of scripture. Do you think Peter and Paul had a problem really getting along? I don't think so. They had a moment there, but do you think Apollos and Peter had a real problem getting along? It doesn't look like it to me. Do you think Peter, Paul, and Apollos had problems with Christ? It doesn't look like it to me. You know, the problem was that some people there were acting fleshly and immature, and they were separating into camps, weren't they? Well, I am of so-and-so. Well, I am of so-and-so. A bunch of eyes. You know, it's one thing, brethren, to be a mighty army that's ready to stand and fight against the devil, and we need to be. We need to be ready to fight. We need to be armored up for that. You know, we've been working through that in our study on Wednesday nights. But it is completely a different story to fight amongst ourselves. Completely different story. Proverbs chapter 20. You know, brethren, I'll say this, you know, as we're going along here. Over the years, we've come a long way. And I'm pleased about the unity that we have here. We have great fellowship, but you know what? There's room for improvement, isn't there? Let's excel still more. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Scripture says is basically if you fight at the drop of a hat, you're a fool. You know, it doesn't take a special individual to get involved in altercations at every turn. But a good man stays out of those, doesn't he? He avoids that kind of strife. One thing, brethren, though, we got to be honest. When we look into this mirror, we got to ask and be honest, am I involved in conflict? Am I involved in conflict in the body of Christ? And if I am repeatedly, there's a problem with me. Now, I'm not talking about standing on doctrine. I'm talking about fighting over dumb stuff. You know what I mean by that? You know, kids, there's right and there's wrong. And then there's fighting over dumb stuff. Right? This is talking about fighting over dumb stuff. It says quarreling. Over dumb stuff. You know, I've noticed the big fights often come from small stuff. When I was growing up, this is going to be embarrassing. I had two older sisters. They were 2 years apart from between each of us. Constant quarrels and fights. Okay? And usually it started with small stuff. But when the small stuff starts, what usually happens? It escalates. Right? Escalates. I can remember, not sure why my parents thought this was a good idea to do this, but we had one set of boxing gloves. Right? My sister had the left one, and I had the right. And we would go to town. Okay? Ding, ding. You know, it was like, da-da-da, da-da-da. You know, eye of the tiger. And, you know, before we knew it, someone was getting knocked out. And it was usually this guy. You know, I'm not sure how much I want to share of this. But, you know, when things started out as innocent fun, and it was just good innocent fun, until someone got popped. When they weren't wanting to get popped, okay? Turned into a no-holds-barred UFC kind of thing. Yo, Mick! You know, That's how fights start, guys. Start small. It starts small until someone gets hurt and things escalate. I think one thing, you know, in the body of Christ, not to make things too simple, but I just think we need to be nice. You know, just be nice. Be kind. Have nice responses. You know, you hear the way people talk and it's like, wow. Wow. But you know, in some of those situations, you know, it seems normal, doesn't it? So, you know, we have to think about that. Am I sparring with someone here? What's going on? Am I trying to hit the hot button, you know, to some, see how someone's going to start throwing? Or, you know, we got to think about that. I know, and it's, I'll admit this, you know, in my own family, I'm guilty of that. You know, I know my wife well. I know how to push her buttons. I know where those buttons are. Beep. You know, we are a family, and we should be. You know, that's what the Lord wants. But being a family, sometimes being close to each other, you know, we know where our buttons are. We know how to push those buttons. So, brethren, partly, just be nice. Just be kind. Don't go out of our way to push buttons. You know, if you go out of your way to push buttons, that's immature, isn't it? I think Scripture would say that's fleshly. You know, I think of verses like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we no longer recognize any man according to the flesh. The Lord doesn't want us to be that way. The wise man abandons quarrel before it breaks out. You know, you can check that out in Proverbs 17:14. I do want to hit this passage real quick in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll turn there. You know, and sometimes something else that can be a problem, brethren, is people don't want the focus on them, usually. You know, maybe I did something I hadn't ought to done. And so sometimes rather than being content and waiting to see if those things are revealed, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cause a little ruckus over here. Right? I'm going to cause a little distraction. Whoop! And so I'll be fine over here. All the attention's over here. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a little warning here. In verse 23, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Foolish and ignorant speculations. What do they produce? Quarrels. And brethren, there's a lot of things here, right? There's a lot of things here that we can take a stand on. There's a lot of things that we can take a stand on in what this book says, right? Absolutely. And we need to. But there are some things that would fall a little more under the category of opinion, right? Or speculation. I honestly don't like to speculate about the Bible because there's rarely anything good that comes from it. You ever ask a question to Jay Wilson? Ask him a question, you get this in response. Irrelevant question. The Bible doesn't give us answers on that. I can give you my opinion, he'll tell you, but that's really all it is. Because the Bible doesn't give us any concrete answers on that. So, you know, maybe let's not waste time to find answers on something the Scriptures don't answer. You know, we got to be careful. A lot of problems happen in the church sometimes when things are minor issues and things that there are no definitive answers for. People want to go and try and make stands on some of these things. They pull, poke, and push. If the Bible doesn't give us answers to that, it's speculation. And what speculation can produce is quarrels. You know, Nolan brought it up in Wednesday night's study, and I agree wholeheartedly. As a congregation, I think we need to stand on stuff we can prove. Plenty of what we're warring out there, plenty of the arguments that we have and the guys that we're discussing things, you know, those guys, they go off on virtue, and their scriptural premises are off almost 100% concerning the scriptures. There's a lot of stuff we can prove. There's a lot of stuff we can prove through scriptures. Let's stick to the stuff we can prove. And brethren, in doing that, we're getting people that are interested in truth. You know, they're learning to stick with the stuff they can prove. And then this thing can continue to move forward. If scriptures don't give us definitive answers, then we don't need to worry about it. If you start taking stands on stuff you can't prove, you will lose credibility in arenas that you can prove. All it is it's cause for quarrel. And you know, when you start proving from the scriptures some of these points that are being argued, you know what those guys do? They'll try to jump over into stuff that you can't prove to try to get the argument away from the stuff that you can prove. And don't play their game. That can't happen in the body of Christ, brethren. There's a responsibility for us. Avoid speculations. Okay? You know, that makes sense. Those things just cause quarrels. Don't fight over dumb stuff. Right? And so the solution. What's the solution here? The solution is to put more emphasis on Christ. On Christ and His body. John the Immerser put it really well. He said, He must increase, I must decrease. It's an amazing thing that God has set it up this way. We actually see this really well in team sports. If I start putting the team first and everyone else starts putting the team first, individuals in the team on the team start getting regular opportunities, don't they? But as long as I'm selfish and I'm going to do what I want to do, the way that I want to do things, guess what? Nobody gets opportunities. Including the guy that wants to do things his way. Opportunities are missed that otherwise would be there. And so, I'm thankful, brethren, that we have a body here in Billings that has great teamwork. You can see it. When it's not there, even more so when it is there. The unity that we have is special. Yeah, you know, have you noticed that when we as a congregation put the Lord's church, put Christ first in His church above all other things, we start to get opportunities. You know, when we put Christ first, when we put the needs of others above our own, all sorts of opportunities start to arise. And we've seen that. You know, that's the way God works, and that's His divine intervention to also ensure that this will work out for His will and His good pleasure. All right, turn to Psalms 133 in closing. You know, I'll say this, brethren. I think we know God has made us to be warriors. You know, sometimes it's scary to stick your neck out there, right? Go out there and fight. That can be a scary thing. You know, sometimes it's easier to get a feel like we're being a warrior by picking a fight in here. Well, then we need to get our priorities straight if that is the case. Let's keep the main thing, Jay would say. He likes to say, let's major in the majors and minor in the minors. Let's keep the real thing the real thing. We have a major spiritual war going out there, brethren. And we are the spiritual warriors that God has chosen. So let's go fight this fight together. You know, let's be kind to each other. Let's be united in spirit. Let's be intent on one purpose. Let's put on love, right? Which is the perfect bond of unity. Roger brought that out real well, and this was a great introduction, I guess, in a certain way. Well, I do commend us, brethren, here. I think we've done a great job in that. But again, I think we can do even better. I think a lot of it is just watching what we say. It's easy for words to slip out. Make sure the things that we say are nice. Slow down and think about it, right? Sometimes, you know, I even catch myself saying to myself, think about what that sounded like to the person you just said that to. You know, think about it. Slow down and think about it. You know, we've been working with Zoe on the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated, right? This is the teaching of the law and the prophets. Be kind. Think about that. Do it that way. And listen, sometimes you got to get a little feedback, right? And then once you get the feedback, be honest. Where are you in that? Sometimes I think it would be worthwhile to record ourselves for a week. Record your conversations, the things you say, the way you sound. Play it back. It could be scary sometimes. I don't know, just for me. You know, sometimes my wife says, think about what you just said. And I'll say, yeah, I said such and such. And she'll say, no, that's not the way you said it. It's not the way you said it. And I know she's right. Guys, here's a tip for you. A lot of you old codgers already know this, but it's not just what you say. It's how you say it, right? So let's be kind. Let's be servants to one another, okay? We're soldiers. We're out there doing battle, shoulder to shoulder. That's hard to say. All right, Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant is it for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Brethren, you know who's going to be in heaven? Us. Us. And a lot more real, true Christians like us, right? A lot more. So hey, let's enjoy each other. Let's enjoy each other's company, right? Let's get shoulder to shoulder next to that soldier who's fighting next to you, alongside you. And let's fight together. You know, you fight through some stuff together. You work through some stuff together. Man. You know, you're starting to become people. They're like, hey, I got your back. Hey, I got you. That's a powerful thing. You work through some challenges together. Man, that just makes you stronger, doesn't it? And so we are a fighting unit, brethren. We're a fighting unit for the Lord. And we take that effort, we take that energy, and we direct it to Satan. Okay, let's not let him have the upper hand by getting in here and infiltrating our lines and stirring up stuff. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do love you. We're so grateful for you. So grateful for the saints, for your body, the church. And Father, that Scripture tells us that we are all individual parts of one another. But where are we as individuals? We are stronger as a team. And we, as united in Christ, we can overcome the world. We can overcome the challenges in our lives. We have to rely on each other. We have to do so according to the will of Christ and according to His example. So we're so thankful for Him, the one that provides us strength to continue on to fight this fight, and the one that can get us to the end. We need to do our part. I pray that we would do that this week. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, everyone.